So, Father God, we just thank you for Colin. We thank you for the gifts that you've placed in him. We thank you for the that you're honing him and shaping him, and he is able to come and bring gifts to us as a result of that, gifts from you, as he preaches and teaches. And I pray our hearts will be wide open this morning to hear from you, Lord, to receive from you, directly from you. And we give Colin permission this morning to speak, and really speak. Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. You're incredible. I want to talk to you this morning about the kindness of God. Because God is kinder than we think. It's just true. Honestly, I've been walking with Jesus now for more years than I care to mention, and not as long as some of you. But every year, without fail, I get proved wrong. Just when I think I've kind of understood the kindness of God, he shows me more. The kindness of God is just so enormous. It keeps you can't get to the end of it. God is full of surprises. And when I say God is kinder, some people thought I meant God is kinder. But he's not. But he is full of surprises. You know, one of the things that may surprise some of you is that God hates religion. He hates religion. He does hate religion. In fact, he said, well, if you must have religion, the only religion that I think is any good is looking after orphans and widows in their distress. In the book of James. So he doesn't really want religion. He's not after religion. He is after kindness. Another thing that surprises me is this gentleness. That God, although being omnipotent, as we learned earlier, I'm so proud of the kids in our church, that the very first thing that they wrote up was kind. Isn't that fantastic? Honestly, that is a celebration in and of itself. If we can raise up a whole new generation of people, the very first thing that comes into their head when they think of God is kindness. We've done a good job. The church will be in a good place. But another thing for me is, as I said, it's just that God is kinder than we think. It surprises me. And this is one of the key aspects. And it's basically the good news. The gospel is that God is good and kind. That's the good news we have to tell the world. And he proves it to us day in and day out. Oh, sorry about that. You thought, Colin, how can you possibly weave in England's majestic passage through the World Cup to the semi-finals? I find a way. I honestly admire this man and the way he's led the team. And particularly, no more so than when actually after England won the penalty shootout, the very first penalty shootout ever in a World Cup against the Colombians, and the way he consoled the Colombian players, not his own players just, but the Colombian players after the match, going around hugging them because he knew what it felt like to miss a penalty and be knocked out of the World Cup, to let your country down, as it were, as it might, the whole weight of it would come upon your shoulders. He knew how bad they would be feeling. And out of sheer kindness, he spent not time celebrating with his friends all the time, but taking time out just to go and put his arms around someone who he knew was suffering. Amazing. What a kind man. What a kind man. Right. So why is it surprising to us that God is kind? Why is it surprising? Well, you know, mainly we have to face the facts, guys. It's down to us. And when I mean us, I mean the church. The church, we're desperate, you know. We do generally want people to know the God that we've come to know, don't we? We want the whole world to know Jesus because he's wonderful. And we've tried all kinds of ways of getting people into the church. And one of the ways we've tried is by actually scaring them into the church. It's true. Isn't it true? Throughout, look at history. We have driven people into the church by hook or by crook. More often by hook. And, you know, we threaten with all kinds of things, which have been, it's been so anti-Christian, so anti-Christ. It's not true. God would not have us drive anybody into the church. And when we look back at history where we've done that, where we've tortured or threatened violence on cultures, or even tortured and threatened them with the thought of hell, you know, that's not the way God wants to be represented. And thankfully, we live in a generation now where the goodness and kindness of God is being celebrated more and more in the church. That's a good thing. But we've done such a good job at scaring people into the church that are deeply ingrained in our culture is a fear of God. And I don't mean a healthy fear, a reverential fear, which is actually wonderful, by the way, to actually think someone's so awesome and actually you're terrified of them. You think, wow, you're just so amazing. That kind of fear, which a child might have for their parents, is good. But not a terrifying fear, where you wonder what the anger of this God might do. And the church has proclaimed that in order to drive people in, which is just terrible. We need to repent of that. And thankfully, we have. It's so surprising, isn't it? Because, the Bible has a completely different message. When you really read it, I mean, at a surface level, you can pick out stories of judgment here and there. But when you really read it, it's a love story from beginning to end. It's a story of God so passionately in love with mankind that he runs after us from beginning to end. You know, even in the Old Testament, which many people write off as saying it's about a harsh and judgmental God, how can that angry God be the same God that Jesus came to represent? But, you know, that's a shallow reading of Scripture, a very shallow reading. You know, look at Moses. When Moses said, "Show me your glory," when Moses asked God in the Old Testament, 1500 years BC, before Christ, and he said, "Show me, God, what is the most amazing thing you could show me about yourself? Show me the thing that we must celebrate the most, because it's what you consider to be your glory." In Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, Moses says that. God then goes to show Moses his goodness, his loving kindness. "I am the Lord God, full of loving kindness, abounding in loving kindness." That's the thing he wanted them to celebrate, even then. We just didn't understand it. It took us a long time to really get hold of the full picture, which, of course, Jesus brings in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, the kindness of God comes in to full view with Christ, with Jesus. If we want to know what God is like, we look no further than Jesus, because the Bible tells us God is exactly like Jesus. He's the exact representation, not just an image, which we all are, but he's an exact representation of what God is like, which is heartwarming, isn't it? Because look at what he did, at the way Jesus treated people, always with kindness, always with patience. He became notorious as a religious man for spending a lot of time with awful people, people that we would written off. I use that word in quotes. He said, because the religious people said, "What are you doing, Jesus? You're spending all your time partying with the tax collectors and the sinners." You know, they got angry with him because he got renowned for hanging out with the kind of people that you and I would not want our children to hang out with. It's true. He was setting a bad example. I love the fact that Jesus was kind. I mean, look what happened. Person after person who encountered Jesus, encountered his kindness, were transformed. Well, one of the main people that got transformed, that's in partying, by the way, with tax collectors and sinners, but one of the main people that got transformed was Zacchaeus. A tax collector who was a chief, not just an ordinary tax collector, but a chief tax collector. He was in charge of lots of tax collectors. And they were all raising taxes for Rome. They were all raising too much taxes and putting some in their own pockets, stealing from the people, all in the name of this Roman Empire they were serving, which was the invading army. And Jesus says, "I want to come and have dinner at your place with your mates, Zacchaeus." Most of us probably would not have that attitude towards him if we met him on the street. You know, most of us would be thinking he deserves rubbish to happen to him. He deserves judgment. He deserves something nasty to happen to bring him up to his senses so he knows what he's doing. Jesus says, "No, I'm going to come round your house and eat with you." But look what happens. The story goes on, and Jesus goes and has lunch with this guy and his mates, and they hang out. And as a result of it, Zacchaeus says, "Look, Lord, I'm going to now give away half of what I own. I'm going to give away four times as much back to the people I've stolen from." And Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house." It was an encounter with kindness that transformed Zacchaeus. truth is, every one of us needs an encounter with kindness. That's the truth. I don't know about you, but I needed an encounter with kindness. I needed an encounter with kindness when I first got saved. I didn't know there was a God. But when I reached out to him, he met me with kindness. He didn't judge me. He didn't condemn me. He just poured out kindness upon me and filled me with joy and peace. Just like we prophesied over James and Annie that they would go in joy and peace. He filled me with joy and peace. That was kindness, not deserved. All of us, well, most of us in this room, actually, can tell a similar story. When we first encountered Jesus, we encountered his kindness, and it changed us. Now, that's amazing, and that's good, and that's right, and it's proper. But the thing is, too often, we can then forget about the kindness of God, because we've got that bit, and we can move on. But the Bible actually says, no, we're to grow in kindness. And in fact, when you read this verse in Romans, Paul says, if we continue in kindness, we can stay connected to God. You know, in the beginning of the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 14, when he's talking to religious people again, he says, stop telling people what they're doing wrong. Stop laying the law on people. Have you forgotten that it's the kindness of God that leads you to repentance? And here we are in chapter 11 of the book of Romans, and he's talking about an olive tree, which is why I've got that picture up there. And he says, you Gentile Christians, you Christians from the Greeks and the Romans and whatever else, the barbarians, you know, I'm speaking to you, and I've just explained to you how wonderful the salvation we have is in Christ. But don't get proud. And then he compares God's people to an olive tree. And he says, you've been grafted into this olive tree. And yes, some of the Jews have been cut off and they're now not connected to the olive tree. But don't get proud about that. Because if they return to me, they can be grafted back in. They haven't been cursed. They haven't been totally abandoned. God still loves them. They're just not actually connected into the life of God, which is through kindness. They've got religious, so they want God to rise up and strike the Roman Empire. They want God to deliver them through might and through power. And yes, and God is mighty and powerful, but he's gentle. He doesn't work that way. And so they've cut themselves off from the kindness of God through demanding that he works in a way which he doesn't want to work. Some of us now need to look at our own hearts. Some of us, you know, we can get hurt by people, we can get hurt by situations, and we wish that God would act and bring judgment on those that have hurt us or hurt our families or hurt our loved ones. Actually, and that's not wrong to feel that, but actually to know at the same time that's not God's heart, because God loves the other person too. And what he'd rather is that they came to repentance, that they would be changed by his kindness, they would encounter his kindness, have their eyes opened, and therefore come into the family. You know, can I just draw for a moment? Take advantage of the flip chart. Because, you know, there have always been two trees, haven't there? There have always been two trees. I'll draw this one a bit messier because, you know, it's supposed to bear fruit. There were two trees in the garden originally. There are two trees that Paul's now talking about in the book of Romans. And he says, you know, if you're connected to the root, and you can call the root Jesus, or you can call it God, or you can call it one of those. If you're connected in, then you're connected into the life of God. If you're connected into God's kindness, actually there's fruitfulness that will flow from that. So Abraham was part of the tree. He was part of God's tender plant as it was growing up, because he looked at this God. Not many people knew about God at the time, but he had this idea that God was kind and that God wanted to bless him. Not only did God want to bless him, but God wanted to bless the whole world. That's a kind God. He said, yes, God, I trust you. I believe you. And God says, right, you're in. Yeah, Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham believed God and it was accredited to him as righteousness. The moment we look at God and see his kindness and say, yes, I trust you, God says, you're in. You're in the tree. You're going to bear fruit now. So we just looked at Moses a second ago. Show me your glory. Moses, the most humble man on the planet. And God says, show me your glory. And God says, look, I'm kind. I'm forgiving. I'm full of goodness and truth. I'm slow to anger. And God says, you've got it now. And Moses says, I trust you. And God says, you're in. You're in. He's in the tree. David, you know, a man, when he was presented with two options, you know, some people say, when I talk like this, some people say, Colin, it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. They quote Hebrews to me. And I think, oh, come on. You've totally missed it. Even David in the Old Testament knew otherwise. And David, when he was given an option to spend 3 months being tormented by his enemies or 3 days being chastised by God, he says, give me the 3 days chastised by God, because God is kind. God's forgiving. He's compassionate. Even David, you said, David trusted God. And he was grafted in. It's just kindness, kindness, kindness. So you wind the clock forward, and those who believe in Jesus, who say, yes, God, I like the kind of God that you're describing, Jesus. I trust that God. We're trusting in the goodness of God, the good news. We're grafted in. We're okay with God. We start to bear fruit. That's the way it works. It's amazing. It's the kindness of God that draws us initially in the first place. And let's face it, who doesn't want to hang out with those that speak kindly? If you're given a choice, who would you go and hang out with? What can I do tonight? Shall I go and hang out with that person that always tells me off? That person who wants to give me a good smack, or, you know, that person that wants me to make me feel small? Or shall I go round to that person's house, at Annie's house, who always says kind things to me? It makes me actually want to cry sometimes because of the kind things that she says. I want to go and hang out with Annie, because my heart's going to grow. And this is, when you read that verse up there, the trouble is we're so religious, we think, oh, look, there's two sides. There's the severity and the hardness. And we talk about the severity of God, you know, and we struggle with that. And we want to warn people about the severity. But the way to handle it is actually to ignore the severity and just focus on the kindness. If you continue in the kindness, you will bear fruit. Are you getting that? So when we trust in God, we're grafted in. And when we don't trust God, we disconnect ourselves. We sever ourselves. It's not about God doing stuff to us, but we sever ourselves from his kindness. Kindness keeps us in God. And the way we stay in kindness, the way we stay in God's kindness, there's two things we do. Number one, I've just said we believe that he is kind. Actually, always keep that number one, like our kids. Let's take a leaf from their books. Let's continue to remember that God is kind. And then we become kind. We become like him. And that's what always happens when you admire someone. You end up becoming like them, which is why the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, is kindness. One of the fruits follows on from goodness. And as I said to you at the beginning, the more I go on, the more I read scripture, the more overwhelmed I get by the kindness of God. I'm just doing an MA with Westminster Theological Center. And I spent 6 months studying Paul. And honestly, I've been gobsmacked. I've been overwhelmed again by the kindness of God. And just the life of Paul, how it expresses it. You know, can I have honesty for a moment? When I first read Paul, I didn't like him. I thought he was arrogant. I thought he had too much to say, and he was hard on people. But honestly, I've done a complete U-turn on the guy. Tom Wright has helped me. If you've read Tom Wright's book, Paul, a biography, fantastic. So much so. Now I'm going to do a stream in the autumn. We know we did streams last year, 8 weeks in the autumn. I want to do a stream just on the Apostle Paul, on his life, walking through his whole life, all the events and the letters, and how they fit, and drawing out the kindness of God in it. How you'll fall in love with Paul in a whole new way. I guarantee it, if you want to come on that. Anyway, that's it. Kindness keeps us in God. Okay, look. But not only that, kindness does two other things for us. It helps us to have faith for the future. We receive God's comfort when we know he's kind. It also gives us faith to be his ambassador. It helps us to comfort others when we know God is going to be kind to them. So first, let me just do the first one. God comforts us. We have faith for ourselves when we know that God is kind, no matter what we're facing. And let's face it, we all do struggle at times with difficult things, circumstances, whether it's sickness, whether it's broken down relationships, whether it's fears over our kids, whether it's fears over our businesses, provision. There is stuff going on all the time that we face. And we face it a whole lot better when we know that God is kind. And I'm not speaking kind of like theoretically here. Just look at me now, my life. I want you just to have empathy for me just for a moment. Okay? 10, 12, no, more than that. A few years ago, I gave up my IT career, which I was enjoying very much, because I felt God called me into church leadership. And God provided for me. And when God called me to lead River, he provided miraculously for me to enable me to make that move. 8 years on, I'm now handing over River Church to Kerry Day, which I'm very happy about and very excited about. And in September, we're going to celebrate that, which is really good. But for me now, there's a flip side. I gave up my IT career. I'm now hopelessly out of touch with IT because, you know, it changes so fast. And I've got a role still within River, which is good, but actually it's not a breadwinning role. What does that do to me as a man? You know, what does that do to me, my self-worth? I could get really down at this point. I could get really low and think, you know, what is going to happen? Have I finished? Am I washed up? But it's the kindness of God that helps me to face the future with courage. Thank you. Because God has been so kind to me and so gracious to me over many, many years. Provided a beautiful wife. Lovely family, more finance than we've earned, good friends, fantastic times. You know, I see miracles of healing, miracles of financial. God has been kind to me. My only fear is that I don't want his grace to me to be poured out in vain. God has been so kind to me. You know, he's not going to let me down in the next season. It's madness to think that way. He's kind. But the enemy will still come to me and assail my heart with fear. I'm just a man. Despite that history, I have to take my courage again, knowing that God is kind, and step into it. And I'm doing that with joy, because I know my God. He's amazing. Have you met Jesus? He's adorable. Have you met him? He's the most. Our kids have met him. Look at all those things. This is fantastic. And I really felt, when I was saying, Lord, what do you want to say to the church in this my last time speaking to you as a kind of, what do you want to say? He said, Colin, tell him what you know. He revealed to me again his kindness. And he said, tell them about my kindness. I want them to face the future with bravery. I want them to face the future. Because a lot of us are facing uncertainty. A lot of us are facing change. A lot of us are facing some big things in our lives. And God says, face it. Because I am with you. I am with you. The kindness of God is for you. Annie, the kindness of God is for you and James as you go to lose. The kindness of God. And he says, I'm going to provide much more than bread and water. Yeah, I'm going to give you bread and water. The stuff you need. He says, don't just ask me for the bread and water, but ask me for the honey. If you would just listen to me, I'll give you honey from the rock. He's got honey for you guys in this season. So you're going for some reason, but he's got other reasons. And there's honey there. He says, press in. This is the time for you guys to press in and listen. Anyway, and the other thing I said, you know, is actually when we know the kindness of God, we can be on either side of these hands. We can also be the one that brings comfort. When we know that God doesn't just use good people, when he doesn't just use holy people, when he doesn't just use the perfect people, but when he uses ordinary people like Al and me. Al comforted me on Friday. Just we had a round of golf together and we chatted, but he brought great comfort to me. God used him to bring comfort and strength to my heart just spending time with him. Thank you, my friend. But, you know, when we know, Al knows that God is a gracious God. He's the kind God. So he always is willing to go out there and be used. You saw this morning when he got up to share. He's always willing to get up because he knows that God is good. God's not going to let him down or the people he's speaking to. The more full our hearts are of confidence in the kindness of God, the braver we will be when we are ministering, when we are trying to comfort those around us. Honestly, God's going to do healing through you. He's going to heal people's hearts and heal people's heads through you. That's his will. To bring heaven to earth through you. And the more we know the kindness of God, the braver we will be in stepping out and saying, God, here I am, use me. I know my friend's in pain. I believe you want to step into that pain and bring healing. And you will have the joy of them coming to you and saying, since the moment you prayed for me, my life has got better. I've had that said to me so many times because God is kind. From the moment you prayed for me, my life has got better. You know, just looking at you guys there, God's going to do that for you. God's going to do that for you. The moment you pray for someone, the angels are sent, and their lives are going to get better and better. So, I want to finish there. Yeah. One way to get to know the kindness of God is to come to Wildfires next year. Just a little plug. I meant to plug it earlier. But honestly, I'm glad to be that we're a stream that's associated with all those wonderful streams that are set up Wildfires. There's a lot of kindness revealed in those streams, a lot of freedom and love. Make it a priority, guys. Honestly, fill your hearts up with the goodness of God at events like that. Personally, as I step into this next season, I want to also focus on reaching the lost with the kindness of God. I'm going to want to set up a little group of people. I want to gather a group of people that are burning with that desire, who know they're called actually to bring good news to people, who want to be braver at it. If that's you, please come and speak to me because I want to hang out with you. But now the Lord wants to hang out with us. See, I don't know how you feel right now. I don't know if you identify with the tree here on the left. I don't know if you identify with the healthy tree, which is plugged into the root, which is Jesus. And you're feeling the life of God flowing through you, and you're feeling fruitfulness coming from your life. Or whether actually you feel more like the tree on the left. You feel a bit disorganized. You feel a bit disconnected. You feel a bit fearful. You feel a bit worn out and battle bruised. And actually you look at your life and you're trying to struggle to see the fruit. I tell you what, it doesn't matter. Today is a new day. The God of kindness is here right now. And he says, I'm plugging people into the tree right now. I'm reconnecting people's hearts into the kindness, into my kindness. This is not about religion. This is about love. It's always been about love. I said that when I took on the leadership of River. I'm saying it now. It's about the love of God. Let's purposefully now connect back in to the kindness of God. And if we've known kindness, let's press into more kindness. That makes us braver than ever. More confident to face the future than ever. More confident to minister his goodness than ever. Because that's his gift to us this morning in Jesus. Now, there is a way, you know, obviously when you give a message like this, actually everybody could respond. And that's okay too. But if you know that actually you have a vital need to just connect into the kindness of God in a new way today. Maybe because of some things that you're facing, some trials, some struggles. You need to know that God is with you. Or maybe because actually you're frustrated and you actually want to have a more fruitful life and actually you want to be braver and you need another revelation of his kindness just to help you step out. If if you feel your heart at all moved and stirred by that, then just stand, because I want to pray for you, because I have a revelation of the kindness of God which he wants to give you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We've been told already, this is a holy moment. This is a holy moment. This is a holy moment. It's a life-transforming moment. It's a glory-to-glory moment. If you are near someone that's saying, just lay your hand on, just bless them in the name of Jesus. Just reach out. You don't have to prophesy over them. Just reach out and bless them in the name of Jesus. God, thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your love. I pray for everyone that stood, Lord Jesus, for an overwhelming outpouring of your kindness to fill their hearts, that they would know the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Joseph with them, that they would know the God of Moses, the God of David with them, that they would know the God that Jesus represented walking with them every moment of the day, that they would know their Father in heaven, his kindness filling them, Lord God, giving them great courage to face the trials and the tribulations, and to say, hey, I count that all just not even worth comparing to the kindness that you've revealed to me. I can laugh at the future because the God who has revealed his faithfulness throughout the centuries is going to be faithful to me. And if there's an ache, Father, in a heart to for more fruitfulness, I prophesy fruitfulness to your heart right now in the name of Jesus. And it flows from the knowing the kindness of God. It flows from knowing that God is with you. It flows from knowing your Father wants to work with you. It says in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I'm not going to give you just what you need to get by. I don't want you surviving on bread and water. Ask me for honey, the sweet things. Ask me for the things that are going to bring light to your eyes. Ask me for the things that are going to bring great joy to your heart, because I'm going to give them to you. If they would have listened to me, I would have given them honey from the rock, not just water. Thank you, Jesus, for the gifts that are being poured out right now into these beautiful people. Keep us on.